Saturday, and then if they not trying to hear us, because we're going to make a run if they not trying to talk or hear us Saturday, they're going to have to run off. We might be done before one. But like I said, we would not. We ain't sharing no food with y'all. We ain't sharing no handshake, no hello, no hi, no bye. We're going to tell y'all bye if y'all ain't trying to get with it. Get with it and get gone. Get with it and get gone. That's what we stand for.
That is one of the organizers of the Graffiti Bridge protest, Kyle Cole. I was talking with him. It was kind of interesting because his public speech was very strident and about making it known that he didn't want to be co-opted or paid off by the police or by the mayor by coming down there, and that he expects change and not just lip service. When I talked to him, he seemed more interested in talking and getting along, and he was very laudatory towards the mayor, for example, giving information about when the trains are coming every day so they can make sure and clear off the tracks and keep everybody safe. That kind of cooperation is good. Joining us now, we have Tommy Leiter, the chief of Pensacola Police, a good friend of mine, and we were in Leadership Pensacola together. Tommy, welcome back to the program, sir.
Hey, as always, thanks for having me, Andrew.
You bet. Anytime. So let's talk a little bit about this meeting, you and the mayor. You guys are going to go down there, and what, you're going to feed them and talk on Saturday?
So it came up, Pensacola Egg Fest actually is providing the food. They're feeding them.
Oh, nice.
And the idea was this multi-pronged approach. And one of the first, we were approached by Pensacola Egg Fest and had asked, hey, we would like to feed them. Is it something that you think would be worthwhile? And I can tell you had a number of requests, because you saw it across the country, a number of communities that were doing it. And the first telephone call I made was to Kyle. Kyle has identified himself as one of the leaders. I had a cell phone number. I spoke to him, and I told him, look, if you don't want us there, we won't show up. I'm not going to impose myself on your event, you know, if it's not something that you want. And he was very welcoming to have us down there, so it took off from there. So we will be there Saturday to feed as many people as we can possibly feed in 2 hours. We have a chef coming in from out of state, a celebrity chef coming in from out of state. And Pensacola Egg Fest will be providing all of the food and all of the – they'll cook. And then me and my officers, the command staff, the mayor will be there. A number of other people will be there to serve. And that's what the idea is. I think if you start with that servant attitude – We can start making some headway. And I've had some great conversations already. And, you know, we're heading in the right direction. We have been for a while. I think as a country, as a profession in law enforcement, we still have a long way to go. Pensacola, we've made great strides.
Well, and that's
so, the idea Saturday is to feed them. And of course, if we're down there, we'll listen to them. We have officers down there every night. You know, they're biggest threat right now is the traffic flow up and down 17th Avenue. So we try to manage that as much as we can for the protesters. We'll shut down 17th Avenue and allow them to march up and down 17th. So we're trying to partner with them, give them a voice, you know, and allow them the space to protest. And we will be as involved as they want us to be involved in their event.
Are they somebody had asked me the question, and I didn't know the answer. Are they required to get a permit for any of this right now? I mean, I understand prudence, and that may not be necessary, and, you know, you guys are obviously trying to keep a good situation from becoming anything other than that. But is that even relevant at the moment? Because, as you said, shutting down the street is a little bit different than what would normally happen.
Correct. You don't have to have a permit to protest as long as you don't walk down roadways, that kind of stuff. In this case, because it's shut down just to march, they're cooperating quite well with the march. I think, yeah, I've been doing this for 30 years. We've had a number of protests in Pensacola over the 30 years that I've been down here. I don't remember one that has had this much participation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the sheer numbers and the length of time, I think they're in for the long haul. So that's not a bad thing, though. I like the diversity of the crowd. I go by there every day several times. And I like, you know, the diversity of the crowd. I like the fact that there's young people there, there's older people there, and everybody agrees with the message. You cannot look at that video of the murder of George Floyd, and it was a murder, with anything other than disgust. And I don't care if you're in law enforcement or, well, obviously, it resonated across the entire United States. Everybody that watched it was just appalled by it, and I am just as much. You know, I view it through the eyes of a law enforcement officer, and you ask all those questions. How in the heck, how did that happen? How is it possible that somebody in my profession can do that to another human being? And then, of course, you know, black male or black female is going to look at it and look at it through the eyes of Floyd. Is here we go again. It's happened to us again. So I think this particular incident has just resonated so hard throughout the United States for that reason, is it's just so far out there. It's a terrible and difficult video to watch. In fact, this entire week, we went through every year we do retraining for use of force at the police department. And this week, we did it this week, it so happened. And that video was one of the centerpieces of the training. So every single police officer watched it, and they made sure that, or I made sure, that they knew exactly how we felt. And we discussed the incident, the entire incident, how it led up. Well, we don't know how it led up to, but how we would expect them to handle that incident. So, you know, every officer from Pensacola, by the end of this week, will have watched that video. They'll have trained on what we expect for them in use of force.
You know, obviously, you know, in the video, the primary officer, Chauvin, his bad behavior is one thing, but of course you now know the news is that the other three officers have been charged for aiding and abetting. What's your guidance to another officer who is in a situation where he or she sees something like that happening? What you know, because, you know, the primary officer is one thing, but the other officers around him, that's also a problem.
Obviously, yes, and we have the same, you know, we tell them the same thing, and it's in our policies. And the way that we teach them is if you're there and you witness it, then you have an expectation to stop it. And if you don't, then you're just as guilty as the officer who's misbehaving, as it showed in this video. The other officers, it wouldn't have taken much to step up and stop that officer from kneeling on his neck. It would not have taken much for one of those other uniform officers to stop them. And that's what's so tragic about it, is the opportunities, when you look at it from start to finish, to just change the course of that contact. And any one of those officers could have done it, and it's shameful that they didn't.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it's very good. I mean, I know this is true. I know that our local law enforcement, you guys in the sheriff's office, trained this way. And, you know, Chip said the same thing. Bob Johnson said the same thing, and that's all good. We're talking to Tommy Leiter. He is the Pensacola Police Chief. Chief, you know, one of the things Ellison Bennett had brought up earlier this week when we were talking with him was the idea of regular routine sort of maintenance psychological consultations with officers rather than post-trauma consultations, that it should be something you check with all the time to make sure they're still where they need to be. The mayor said you and he had already talked about this, and he was very supportive. What's your perspective on something like that and how useful it might be?
Yeah, I'm all in. It's one of my, I'm hoping by the time I leave that we have a robust mental health program in place for the Pensacola Police Department. I think as a profession, that's where we drop the ball. If you look at the video, and I don't know anything about the officers, so I'm just going to go out on them and speculate a little bit. But, you know, that was a complete lack of empathy for one human being for another. I don't think that they viewed George Floyd as a human being, that lack of empathy. And oftentimes, you know, PTSD will manifest itself in that lack of empathy, lack of emotion. And what you want to do, ideally, when human beings, we're just not process, we're not built to process traumatic events the way that police officers are required to. We're just not, the human body's not built for that. The human mind isn't. So over a course of a career, even a 10-year career, it may not be a single traumatic event. It's the small events. It's a traffic crash with the death of a child or serious critical injuries. And then you leave there and you go to a domestic violence. It might be particularly violent. And then you leave there and you go to another call that is violent, or there's a child victim, and it's this daily grind, day after day after day of work. And over time, that it builds on itself. It just does. So I agree wholeheartedly. What we're trying to do, what we're going to do, I'm convinced that it's going to happen, is to get in-house counselors and access to that. And what I envision is just what you said, a mandatory sit-down with a mental health counselor at least once a year, ideally twice a year. But even if you did it every 12 months and you have that one-hour conversation, ideally what you want to see is the counselor may be identifying some issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to look at peer counseling, so we'll have officers in-house that will be trained. We'll have in-house counselors. We'll have exterior counselors so that we can identify those officers earlier who may be experiencing some of that PTSD, the way it manifests itself. And then you can get those longer-term counseling sessions where it might be a six-month counseling session. Maybe you can pull them out of patrol or change duty assignments for however long you feel like you need to do before you can get them back in. So we're working towards that, actively working towards that. In fact, I detached a lieutenant last year just for the sole purpose of the officer wellness and mental health are his primary duties. His office is right outside of my office, so we see each other every day that we're at work. And it is a priority for us. It's been a priority now for a while, long before this video. I think we recognize the dangers of failing mental health in law enforcement. And I'm not saying that every officer experiences it, just like every military. You can do an entire military career and retire with no issues. But you saw how dangerous one officer can be to a community, how dangerous it is to an entire country. So ideally what you want to try to catch is those individual officers that might be experiencing some trauma and get them early on, because PTSD is curable.
Yeah.
And it's preventable if you get it early enough.
Well, that is wonderful to hear. That is very different from the kinds of things I know the organizers are asking for, but it seems to be very much in line with the idea of not just making sure you have the right rules to follow, but the right people following them and that they're getting the help they need. I love that initiative. I absolutely love it. I certainly hope that it comes to fruition, like you say, very soon. Chief of Police Tommy Leiter, good friend of mine, long friend of mine here, and as you know, the Chief of Pensacola Police. Tommy, thanks for everything that you do for the community. We appreciate you, and we look forward to the results of Saturday's meeting.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thank you, Andrew.